Hey, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers, all the ham bones in the world. We are here once again on Mai Tai Happy Hour, the happiest place on earth. It's a lovely, lovely day this week, and I am so happy that all of you are joining us once again. We have a very, very special show for you today, because as always, our favorite segment, the Punk Rock Canon, is going to take place.
It's back, baby.
Which means...
It's me.
It's you.
It's
we're playing
bone.
Your song.
I appreciate that.
We can't, you know, you can't complain.
I really can't complain.
Nope, not at all.
I like being introduced.
I like when you are introduced. Like, I'm perfectly content when you are introduced.
I feel like after 79 episodes, no one's going to be like, maybe he's going to show up, maybe he's not. You're not getting rid of me, guys. I'm here to stay.
Yeah. Ooh, you have a. So this is the first time you've done your hair in a while on the show.
So fun fact, I had a moment the other day, and I was talking to Jen, and I didn't have my hair done. And she's like, you know, it doesn't look bad.
It doesn't look bad. Well, okay.
You look soft. You look more approachable. And I was like, you know what?
I don't think it looks bad. Like, it just looks so different from what you typically look like.
Well, for 20 years, I had a hard psychopomp.
Well, there was that. And what was... No, it wasn't 20 years.
Yeah.
No, you had emo hair for a while.
George, we don't talk about that.
No, there was a period in time. I have photos of it where you had this weird...
Burn them?
No.
Oh,
no,
shit.
I'm not crazy, right? Like,
no, don't you're tell not me, crazy.
Like, and you wore makeup. It was really...
Oh,
really,
I don't wear makeup.
You had a guy liner on.
Okay, I have
photos of
Jesus
this.
Jesus Christ. God, I thought they were
like,
all gone.
I'm not crazy. And this wasn't that
crazy.
Well, this was since I remember Sal had his.
This was like 2002.
2002. Was there a reason for? Tell me it wasn't a woman.
No, it was an emo band, and I wanted to do something different because at that point, 2002, I had already had my. I don't know, 2002, I was probably like, what, 22, 23? I had already had a decade of the hard psychopomp. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to do something different. And I let my hair grow, and I got some hair relaxer, and I got a flat iron, and I had skinny jeans.
Hair relaxer.
Well, look, it doesn't go down on its own, man. I have very gorgeous, thick hair.
I'm very happy you have nice hair now.
Well,
I'm going to leave it at that.
Well,
because,
hold on a second. Let me finish the story.
Go ahead.
I was like, you know what? I'm done with the crazy psychopomp. We're gonna do something different. So I went on the Google machine and I looked up a bunch of different videos and figured a couple of different things out. So I got some very nice leave-in conditioner, and that's all I'm putting in my hair. So this spit curl that you see, that's au natural.
Really?
No, that's
there's no cream. There's no nothing in your
not
hair.
Not a damn thing. A little damp. I put a little leave-in conditioner. It smells like shea butter. And now this is my hair.
It looks nice. It's almost frosted.
It's not frosted.
That's gray.
That's my natural gray.
Whoa!
I've got a lot of gray hair.
I did not notice that.
Oh, dude.
Is it like? Do you usually paint it?
No, I never paint it. But when I put all the pomade in, it just slicks it so well that you can't tell that there's gray there. But no, yeah, I am hand bone the gray.
I am blown away right now.
Your mind.
So my beard is gray.
Why? Well, I know
which
that.
Which is so strange. Like, I have the weirdest beard ever. It
you
just kind of
handsome man beard.
It's strange though. If you look at it, it looks like I'm wearing a goatee. Like, it does.
Yeah, it does kind of look like you're wearing a goatee because that's where your patches go with the gray.
It's so strange. It's like this weird devil beard. And I don't have really that much gray hair in my hair. It's all in my beard.
Wow.
And as the stress just comes on, my beard just gets whiter. I'm just going to be the white beard.
You're like a Santa beard.
And then I shave, and it's like, whoa, you aren't that old, even though you kind of are.
No, you're not that old. You're 40.
I should be bald and gray and like have like two teeth by now.
You are not the Brimley. You know, you're aging very well. You're aging more like a Keanu.
I'm trying hard.
Well, you know, man, I will tell you, you look good.
So what else are we talking about on the show today?
What else are we going to talk about today? So we're going to do probably what I argue is one of our most controversial segments, because every week we get a lot of different opinions on it. So besides doing the punk rock canon, the cocktail's a little controversial. We're also going to talk about Mission Impossible because I went to see it this week. We are also going to talk about Harry Potter because you've seen Harry Potter for the first time, which is amazing to me. And we're going to talk a little bit about the Star Wars Episode 9 cast reveal.
Yep, I'm psyched.
I'm super
psyched.
That
sounds like a great episode.
I think it's going to be a fantastic episode.
I really want to hear about Mission Impossible because I truly think you're insane for supporting the greatest Scientologist of all time, but we'll let you discuss that when we get to that.
Yeah, we'll get to that a little later.
First of all, it's cocktail time.
It is cocktail time, and let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. I am so excited for cocktails this week because I'm going on vacation. I'm going to Indianapolis. I'm going to Gen Con. And I will find any kind of tiki action that I can out there.
You can find a nice rum bar, too.
I'm going to find a rum bar. Listen, if there's rum, I'm putting it in my body. So what we're going to do, to me, I picked this drink out this week. It's called the Lady of Singapore. And it is another blended cocktail. And to me, blended cocktails always means vacation. So this is originally from the Contiki restaurant, Portland, Oregon, 1960. So what you're going to do, 1/2 ounce of freshly squeezed lime juice, 1/2 ounce of Lopez coconut cream, 1/2 ounce of fresh cream or 1/2 and 1/2. I would definitely recommend the fresh cream. 1 ounce of unsweetened pineapple juice, 1.5 ounces of gold Puerto Rican rum, 1 tablespoon of grenadine, and 4 ounces of crushed ice. So what you're going to do is put everything in a blender, saving the crushed ice for last. You're going to blend it high speed for 5 seconds, pour into a specialty glass with sculpted ice mold. And that's it. That's the Lady of Singapore. It sounds like exactly what I want to put in my body when I get to Indianapolis.
I think this is an amazing drink. I think once again, you've turned us on with your cocktail. I don't know. I've got nothing.
I got nothing.
If I say anything, it's just going to get worse.
So it will get worse.
I'm not going to go there. I, however, do want to talk a little bit about bars. And I don't know if you've heard, but this week, Death & Co. decided to, I don't want to call it a Kickstarter. They are going through a seed investment company, and they are offering up the ability for you to invest in Death & Co.
Really?
Yeah, it looks like they're opening up. It looks like they have opened up more locations, maybe in San Diego, a few other places. We've been to the New York location.
It's fantastic.
Death & Co. is one of the best cocktail bars in the world as far as like true cocktail. It's very dark. It's almost speakeasy-ish. It looks like it could be the Hell's Angels clubhouse from the outside, but it's just this amazing fresh ingredient cocktail bar. We went. We couldn't see anything, if I remember correctly. We got no real photos from there.
It was one of the most romantic places I've ever been with George Bungalow.
Yeah. So the
like, you should take a date.
I got an erection. It happens sometimes, but it was more because of the cocktail.
See, even after 40, you're still young at heart. That's good. Just
anyway,
pumping that blood.
So they have opened up a round of investment to the general public using the seed investing company, and they are. You know, you can invest starting at $1,000.
That's not bad.
And there are like tiers. So if you put $2,500 in, you get a custom t-shirt for investors and a signed copy of their book. If you put in $5,000, as well as like a return on your investment.
I was going to say, I'm really more curious about that.
And you get a return if they hit their milestones for investment. But at $5,000, you get cut to the front of the line, so you always get a seat at your local Death & Co.
Okay.
But I think they're trying to build up about like $3 million or so dollars so that they can open up a few more bars, really put more money in the bars they do have. And it's curious to see how it's doing. I think the last time I checked it, about $200,000.
That's not bad.
I may or may not have put in some money.
I probably will too.
And
you know I like investing.
And if you put in by the 6, you get the next tier. So if you put in $2,500, you get the $5,000 perk of being able to go in by snapping your finger and be like, oh, Senor Coroneos, come to your seat. Here is your painkiller. Because the host is clearly Mexican or something.
Yeah, that went
away. I don't know where I was going with that either.
Keep moving forward.
But I just thought that was a very interesting way. I actually been on Seed Invest before. I had a friend whose brother was opening up a restaurant, but it was one of those ones where you would only get up to a 1.5% modifier. So if you put in $1,000, you would only get $1,500 back if they make their investments. In this case, it looks like it might be more... it might be more involved. I think you're actually an investor in it.
Because that's what I'm a little more interested in. Like, I don't want the Kickstarter t-shirt.
I want a return on investment. I want the signed book. And the fact that it might live there forever. We need to have George go through the site and make sure everything looks kosher. I mean, obviously, with all investments, you know, shit can happen.
Of course. But I feel a little more assured if our buddy George takes a look at it.
Yes. Well, he's the one who reached out to me. Well, I'd already been bad, but he also reached out to me afterwards and said,
naughty
hey,
boy.
Do you know what Death & Co. is? I'm like, oh, do I know? Anyway, so that's kind of cool. I hope they could do it with some tiki bars. I'd be happy to put some money into like another tiki tea. Right, Allison? I can buy a tiki bar, right? No. Come on. You know you love me. Anyway, we have our own tiki bars. We could have drinks whenever we want. We could have our own seat. It could be the George Hambone seat.
A love seat for when we fall in love and death and go, because it's so romantic there.
Fantastic. Anyway, so today on the Punk Rock Canon, we are going to talk about another legendary Southern California punk band, The Germs.
Southern California really pumped out the good stuff back in the day.
Back in the day, it did. I mean, it was more like New York had the 70s, and in the late, like, they had like 76 to 78. And then from 79 to like 81, 82, it was all Southern California.
All SoCal.
And this time we are talking about The Germs. The album is GI. It is a legendary hardcore album, even though us on the East Coast would argue the terminology hardcore, because hardcore to us means something a little bit more aggro.
Yeah, New York is definitely a fun, like, yeah, this is hardcore, but we are hardcore.
Because they will break you in New York.
Yeah, we'll end you in New York.
End you.
I don't go to hardcore shows because I'm not tough enough.
The second show I was ever knocked out at was an Agnostic Front show.
And that's why I've never gone to see Agnostic Front live.
I went to see Agnostic Front the night Rabies died. It was at Maxwell's. We didn't know Rabies was going to die, obviously. We were just going to Maxwell's, see Agnostic Front reunited.
Oh, wow.
And we go in. It was me and Josh and Josh's girlfriend, Beth, at the time. And she was tiny. She was bitty. She came up to like my chest area.
Really, like a hobbit.
Yeah, she was very short. And we were kind of like towards the front. You know me, I have to be in the front. So I'm on like the front side by the speakers. And someone, I don't even remember what happened. I just got windmilled to the face. I just drop. But she's in front of me because I was trying to block her so she could see because I'm tall. I'm one of those people who helps my short friends.
Right.
All my life I've spent, I feel if you're going to go up front with me, I'm going to help my short friends. Josh is a very lucky man. I've blocked for him many a time.
Oh, yeah.
And many other short friends of mine. So I was blocking for her so she could see. I caught a windmill in the face and fell on her. Mm. Dead weight. Completely knocked out.
You gave her the lead blanket.
Done. Done, done, done. And I think I got picked up. I don't know when I came to, but I think more people were horrified I might have crushed Beth.
Yeah, you're a big man.
Yeah, so that was the second time I ever got knocked out at a show. Anyway, The Germs.
Right.
This album came out in 1979 on Slash Records in October. It, again, was called one of the first, if not the first, hardcore punk album. We know them most from their stint in decline of Western Civilization. Penelope Spheeris' legendary documentary. If you do not own it, it is available on Blu-ray as a package right now with the far superior Decline 2. Everybody should buy it. Everybody should watch it. What are your earliest thoughts of The Germs?
Honestly, my earliest thoughts of The Germs were that they couldn't play their instruments. They were terrible. I liked it. I really did enjoy
it. When did you first get into them? Tell us the story. Paint us the picture.
So what I always appreciated about The Germs was I got The Germs on another one of those, This Is Punk compilations, right? And I just remember that, the idea of punk rock back when I was growing up was like, yeah, just learn a few chords and start a band. And here were The Germs. And to me, The Germs were like the epitome of, oh, they just learned a few chords and now they started a band, which was great because it gave me hope that I could do it. Because, say what you will about the Ramones, they were excellent musicians.
Mm-hmm.
They were actually very, very well-polished musicians.
Well, they were making pop songs. Their biggest influence were the Beatles.
Were the Beatles and 50s rock and roll. So, yeah, they had a little more tune. The Germs, like, I heard The Germs and I liked it, but I was like, wow, I could probably play guitar better than this kid, so I could start a band. So I really, I've always appreciated The Germs. Now, The Germs is not something that I can listen to on a daily basis because of that. I'm listening to it, I'm like, oh man, this is kind of all over the place.
So I heard the Germs are one of those bands I felt like I had to listen to.
Right.
Like I had to own a Germs album. The Germs were just, this was before I saw Decline. Decline, this would have been around 1996, 97. Working at Sam Goody, and I was going on a binge of I need to buy every legendary punk album because I can get it on a deep discount.
Yeah, you can.
And I believe I special ordered the anthology, which includes GI. So it's
Lexicon, Devil, and GI?
It's the anthology is everything. I mean, they didn't put out much.
They put out two albums before. Well, no. Let me see here.
And I will keep talking so that we don't go on dead air.
Yeah, no.
Regardless, the anthology was what I think a lot of people in the 90s got into. Penelope is clearly just crying. So we have the background music of a dying cat.
That's a cat just jamming, living its best life.
I don't
life.
Know. She is just aggressive right now, regardless.
So you got anthology.
Got anthology. And I listened to it probably twice. And thought the exact same thing. I'm like, this is very, very difficult to enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I was so weaned on more pop, more, I guess, more, not pop. I don't want to call it pop punk. But I enjoyed listening to bands like Bad Religion that had harmonies and
right.
and song structure. And maybe it's the same thing you thought. I thought the Germs were garbage.
I thought they stunk on ice.
They were so bad. And Joan Jett produced the record.
Yeah, she
did.
So you'd
think that would have brought some sort of modicum of musicianship.
What's funny is that it's 1979. They're releasing this record. They're releasing it on Slash, mm-hmm. which is a major record label. It wasn't like some crap indie out of your buddy's garage. This mm-hmm. is Slash Records.
Yep.
You know, also went on to produce Walk Among Us by the Misfits
mm-hmm.
Release, among other things. So This is a major label album, but they got
Joan Jett to produce it,
and they actually got the sound of real punk rock happening because
mm-hmm.
it sounds like a garbage record made by people who can't play their instruments. And oh my God, we're gonna get so much heat for this. However, it was a punk rock record, like what a real punk rock record sounds like. Or so to me, you know, if you're like, oh, they're a punk rock band. That's what a punk rock band sounds like in a club. That is a shitty punk rock band playing shitty punk rock. Whereas you look at, say, Nevermind the Bollocks by the Sex Pistols, which is a polished rock and roll record.
Which I also hate, but we won't get into that right now.
Well, that's for a different chapter. That said, like, it's one of the most authentic punk rock sounding records that's ever been produced, ever. It can never be duplicated. It'd be too meta for someone to try to recreate that actual sound because they were shitty musicians. And I think that's why it's important, because it's authentic.
Here is a quote from the era. We felt our thing was for real. Darby had this great power, as Darby Crash, the lead singer, had this great power to draw people's minds into his thing. The heart and minds of the people were often his wherever he went. It was more like a secret society bent on world domination than it was a band.
Right.
The person at his t-shirt company that we dealt with was said every generation of 15-year-olds rediscover the Germs. And I guess, I mean, it's true. We saw, I mean, I was watching the Glow, and the young girl on that show was wearing a Germ shirt.
Yeah, of course.
That was supposed to be of the era. Even though I think that's 84.
Yeah.
But by then, I don't know, Darby Crash lived into the... When did Darby Crash die?
No, he died early on.
I don't know exactly when, but if you watch Decline of Western Civilization, you see him falling apart. That was much like the infamous Ozzy Osbourne shaking his hand while pouring milk into a cereal, which supposedly was fake.
He died a year later, December 7th, 1980.
1980?
Yeah.
So he was dead.
Oh, no, that was the thing. Like, he died. He was, like, one of the first to go.
Yeah.
You know, he was... Yeah, you're right. He was falling off the rails, and then, boom, dead.
Yeah, and it was like, okay, in legend, they became bigger than they ever really were on
right.
album. And I think that's one of the things people really... That and an awesome logo.
And oh, God, it's such a good logo.
The blue-teal circle is one of the most legendary... go ahead.
So, no, what I was going to say to that is, how cool is it, like, you know, you're a photographer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're a photojournalist, you're an editor, you are an artist. You have seen technology grow from when you started taking photos and creating things to what it is now. Like, people on their iPhones can bring up some fonts and can make a flyer for a show. Where you have, back in the day, the punk rock shows, people are cutting things out of magazine, taping things on top of each other, finding a place that had a copy machine. And yet you have this, which arguably is one of the most iconic punk rock records, the covers of all time,
mm-hmm.
which is this Germs record. And it's just like, you know, you think about what a band like the Germs would do now if they had the ability and the technology to make an album cover. Would they be able to recreate that kind of the iconicness of it? Or would it just be kind of like something that's like a subject of the time?
I have no idea.
It's cool. I love it. I think it's a great album cover.
I well, it's their logo too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing about the Germs.
So are we going to throw down right now for it?
Name me a song on an album besides Lexicon Devil.
Oh, I can't. No, I can't. And it's funny because I actually had it up before. I was listening to it on the way here, and I'm like, oh man, this one's a tough one. This one is a tough one to listen to. So, you know, they have Lexicon Devil, What We Do Is Secret on the Record, We Must Bleed.
Horrible movie.
Yeah, horrible movie. That was, Emil Hirsch?
That was Shane West.
Shane West.
And I know this because I went and saw them at the Asbury Lanes with Shane West. And yeah. Can I tell you something? They were excellent.
Yeah, really?
Everybody. They were solid. The crowd was into it. Their show, and again, a live show might have been better than an album, but we're putting an album in the canon, not the band into the canon. This is putting G.I. Again, let's stress, this is putting G.I. by the Germs. But again, this is like our only album that anybody cares about. So I think they have one other album.
It was, I think, two EPs that were just based off of like Lexicon Devil.
And Shane West played like he was Darby Crash revigorated with the fake teeth and everything. Pat Smear, the leader of Nirvana and the Scream. Wait, no, was he in the Scream?
He's in Foo Fighters.
In Foo Fighters.
Which is funny because Pat is an amazing guitar player now. When he was in the Germs, not so much.
No.
So.
What do you say? Is this go into the punk rock canon?
Yes, I say it does. And I say it does because it is, of all the records that we could put into the punk rock canon, to me, the most authentic sounding punk rock record of all the records that we could put into the punk rock canon. And there's a reason for it. Now, granted, maybe you'll agree that the band only got bigger because the dude died like right afterwards and that they couldn't put out any more records to shit up the image. That said, this is something that every kid, like you said in the quote, every 15 year, every so often new 15-year-olds find it again. This is something that everyone kind of comes back to. So this is in the spirit of going to launch 1,000 ships. It goes in the canon.
See, I disagree because I feel if you're going to launch, I don't hear anybody influenced by the Germs. Like I don't hear any bands citing them. Everybody loved Darby Crash and loved the band in that time. But I don't know that many bands I could say, wow, this is the Germs today.
Yeah, I mean, I beg to differ. I think that there's a place for it. And I think the place is something that sparks interest. And maybe that this is the band that they see the logo, they hear the stories about Darby Crash, they go buy the record. Maybe they don't listen to it as much as they are going to tell their friends that they did. But this is something that gets them, this is the first stepping stone into finding another band that they're going to love that's going to set them on the right path.
And if you look at the other bands on decline, Fear, X, Black Flag, you're just like, holy crap. The other bands were so much better, bigger, and just so great.
Yeah.
And I just don't, when I think the Germs, I just don't think great.
Oh, no, they're the drizzling shits.
But they
bring people to the party.
I guess so. I wonder if that logo wasn't as cool as it is if they ever would have lasted.
Probably not.
Their legacy. And that's where I stand. That's why I think they do not belong in the punk rock.
Well, I think that they have a couple things working in their favor. I think they have the logo, they have the decline, and then Darby Crash dies.
Yep.
So that's like the trifecta for like live forever. So yeah, I'm going to say they go in. You say they don't go in. We're going to put this up on Facebook.
We'll have it on Facebook. We'll have it on either tonight or tomorrow morning while I'm getting ready to fly to Chicago. Let us know what you think in the comments. Let us know what you think in the comments of here. We want to know, do you think that the Germs GI deserves to be in the punk rock canon? Do you think the Germs are great? Or do you guys agree that they are the drizzle shits? I will leave it up to you. This is the Punk Rock Canon. We'll be back again next month with another great fight. I got one coming up down the line.
Oh, yeah.
I got we're putting up Bad Religion Suffer up against Stranger in Fiction.
Oh, dude.
On the anniversary of Suffer.
Oh, all right, we got to say it. We can't talk about that now. It's going to be good, though.
But what we can talk about, I want to talk a little bit about MoviePass.
Oh,
have you been following the messes, MoviePass?
As
a person who, you know, Hambone will watch anything.
I will.
I just want to let you know that when I heard about MoviePass, first of all, I thought of you because I'm like, well, this is great for people like Hambone who will watch anything because, you know, you pay a subscription. Everything's moving to a subscription model. I don't want to call it a cloud model, duh. But, you know, a subscription-based model where you pay a monthly fee, you see as many movies as you want. Sounds simple. Especially as the movie industry is not doing as well as it used to. But this thing just, I don't know whether it was because it went public too soon, which is probably what it was, or it just did not know how to make money. I think it started too low.
It did start too low. So the initial asking price for it was $150. $150, you can get a movie pass for a year.
Okay, I thought it was $10 a month, but okay, that's a little bit more. Not much, but that's like $12 a month.
So it was $150 for the year, right? And they were supposed to give you the moon and the stars when you went to the theaters. I almost bought it last year because Costco was doing a Christmas sale on it where you could have gotten it for $99. Mm-hmm. And I missed it by one day. And I was like, oh man, I'm really bummed. I really wish I got it.
And a lot of theaters were involved when it first launched.
When it first launched, a lot of theaters were involved, but there were restrictions.
Like, yes.
You know, you couldn't go see the same movie twice.
Mm-hmm.
You could only, like, if you saw Infinity War, you could see it once. That's it. Like, you couldn't go back. Like, you know, there was other like weird restrictions as well that people didn't like.
And it was strange stuff, and they would throw strange stuff at you later on as they were ramping down. Their stock collapsed last week. It was announced that people couldn't get tickets one day. Like, there was like for 2 days you just couldn't get tickets.
And then when they could get tickets, you couldn't go see Mission Impossible.
You couldn't go meet. Well, no. All right, you jumped the gun a little bit.
Right.
What happened was we found out that it wasn't that their systems weren't working. They ran out of money. They need to buy the tickets at full price. There's no deal. They buy the tickets full price.
Right.
You then pay them the monthly. The math doesn't work here, guys.
Oh, no. Absolutely not.
It doesn't work at all. So they didn't have enough money to front the ticket, to like hold the weight. As they say in the drug world that you are very familiar with, Hambone.
I'm really not.
They couldn't hold the weight. And so they had to go get a loan to cover like the weekend, like a loan to keep the company alive for the weekend.
Yeah.
And that the loan was insane. Like, they have to pay by the first. If they don't pay like half of it, they will then have to pay 24% interest. If they don't pay the full thing back by the 6th of August, they will then have to pay like 50% interest. It's some crazy loan.
What, do they go to a loan shark?
Yeah, basically. It sounds like it. So over the weekend, it turned out nobody can get Mission Impossible tickets.
Yep.
So on Monday, they held a big meeting, and the CEO is like, look, we're fine. Is growing pains. All companies had growing pains at first. I'm like, well, maybe they didn't start off public, but they announced that they would not be able to do the top movies anymore. So no, that new movie with the Winnie the Pooh movie that should never exist as a live action movie.
I don't even want to talk about it.
And
I won't go see that.
And some other major blockbuster that's coming out. Like, those won't be available, which is weird because it's like, well, it's not available at launch. I'm okay if they say you can get in 3 weeks.
Right.
Like, there should be rules like that, but no. And then they're raising the price to $14.95. The stock actually went up from 9 cents to $14 for a little bit.
Yeah, and then this morning when we were looking at it, it dropped down to 89 cents.
Yeah, so I don't know what's going on there. In the meantime, AMC has launched their program. Alamo is announcing their program.
See,
God,
if I had
when
an Alamo
are you
close,
gonna open the Alamo?
When I get $2 million of disposal
you're
income,
you're getting there.
Well,
everybody keeps saying you're the rich friend.
I am not the rich friend.
I am all for you opening up your Alamo.
Oh my God, when the deal goes down, I will open an Alamo. And you know what? If Alamo does a pass where it's like, if there was one local, like if I didn't have to drive to Yonkers or Brooklyn.
And Yonkers suck. I would only go to Brooklyn. And I can't with the kid.
You can't with the kid. And for me, so AMC did the A-list. So I was a Stubbs Premier member already where I forget what I paid for the year. And I get to cut the line for concessions. I get like money off of concessions, free upgrades. Like, you know, like something happens on Tuesday. I don't even know because it doesn't matter anymore because I spend $20 a month for Stubbs A-list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great because there's no restrictions. I can go to a movie whenever I want. I can go to 3 movies a week. And if I wanted to go see Mission Impossible 3 times this week, I could have went 3 times this week.
Yep.
And that's it. So I can see 12 movies a month. I haven't gotten to see a ton of movies this month yet because this month's just been crazy for me. That said, I spent $20 on The Thing and my first ticket was $20. So that was an even wash. And now I've already seen another movie. I'm already like doing great.
Hey, I'm all for it. Obviously, I'm a Carasotes fan.
Right.
I like my theaters without the smell of marijuana lingering.
There's no marijuana smell.
Oh, the AMC Clifton. The Clifton one is garbage.
All right. Well,
AMC Clifton is like a gentle smell of weed that permeates the air. Everybody still talks in that movie, even though the places that have some of the ones that have recliners. It's still very talky in there. People still talk to the movie screen. Carasotes, it's just like, we will sit here quietly.
Quietly.
That's why I like Alamo, because they call you an asshole and throw you out if you
Yeah,
talk.
They will straight up throw your ass out.
They will
out.
Throw you out, and that's why I love it. Talk to us about Mission Impossible. This is the what in the series?
5 or 6?
I saw the last one. I think the last one was my favorite of
them
all.
This is 5.
Why does it exist?
Because
why does Tom Cruise still need to make these?
Because these are the ones that sell for Tom Cruise. It was funny because I actually read an article somewhere, I think it was Rotten Tomatoes, that said the movies where Tom Cruise runs a lot are movies that statistically do better for him. And he is. He's running a lot in this movie. It's a big, dumb action movie. It is a big, dumb action spy movie. And I love those kind of movies. There's a place for those movies. It's Tom Cruise. Once again, his country burns him and problems happen. Wackiness ensues. And he's got to save the world in a very, very, very timely manner. And he runs. He runs a lot, jumps across buildings, gets in fights with people. Stuff blows up. There's karate, love interest. It's just a fun movie. It's a big, dumb action movie.
So I'm one of those people who's torn on supporting Tom Cruise for obvious reasons. I just, you know, he is the grand master. He's like the grand wizard of Scientology. And I feel like it is just kind of wrong to support him in any way. But, you know, you feel okay with that.
I don't know, man. He just does his thing. He doesn't impact my life at all.
Not at all.
I mean, Ving Rhames is in the movie. I really just go to support Ving Rhames.
Well, I'm okay with that.
Simon Pegg. Love Simon Pegg.
What's the general plot? Talk to us a little bit.
So the general plot of the movie is that some nuclear materials get stolen, and they get stolen on Tom Cruise's watch, and he has to go and get them back. And one of his oldest foes comes back out of the woodwork and causes him a lot of trouble. So he has to span the globe running around chasing after these nuclear devices and trying to stop them before they set off and destroy the world.
Okay, I hated the last James Bond movie.
Really?
Yeah, the last one. Not the one before that. The last one was horrible.
Not Skyfall.
Skyfall. No, the one after Skyfall. Was there one?
There was, and I didn't see that.
And it
one.
was really, really bad. But does this replace James Bond? Is that what we're going for? Are we going for like Bourne Identity? What are we going for with the Mission
I think it's
Impossible?
A lateral move. I think that Ethan Hunt is kind of like the American James Bond, except it's not as sexy and he's not as... And he constantly, you know, where James Bond will kind of have to go rogue a little bit against his government, like the American government just constantly just shits on Ethan Hunt. So
I'm going to come over here. I'm going to buddy up with you. We're going to share a microphone. We're going to get cuddly.
Why are we sharing a microphone?
I need you to explain this to me. Okay. This is the only thing anybody cares about from Mission that? Impossible.
Oh my God, you got this clip.
Please explain. This is, are we looking at right
so
here?
So I was about to get to there. So there was a big controversy with Henry Cavill, who was at the same time Superman in the Justice League, and Justice League had to, as you know, get reshot a whole bunch with a new director. So they pulled him off of this movie and wanted him to shave his mustache and then go and become Superman, and he wouldn't do it. The studios butted heads. They spent $25 million to digitally remove the mustache from Henry Cavill. And so in this clip that I'm looking at is the scene where Henry Cavill and Tom Cruise...
He loads his biceps.
So it's almost like a Roman Reigns like cocking his wrist, except he loads his biceps. And when he does it, the stubble on his face grows longer, and then he goes and fights somebody.
And he gains a pocket in
and
his
he gains
shirt.
A pocket in his shirt.
Explain the scene to me, because this is the only reason I want to watch Mission Impossible.
So this is some of the reshoots that they probably had to do for Mission Impossible, where they realized that the scene didn't work. He went to go do Justice League and had to shave the stubble off. He came back and they realized it halfway through and digitally put the stubble on him. It's mustache.
How's the pocket happen?
I don't know how the pocket... He just gets so buff, a pocket appears. He's just like, oh man, my pack just needs a little more room. Pockets.
This is the most... Let me recombobulate.
Holy crap. I mean, it's a big, dumb popcorn movie. And we saw it in the theater And I could have sworn that Timmy kind of like cocked his head when he saw it. I went to see it with Tim and Ian. And I could have sworn Timmy cocked his head and was like, because you see it happening in the theater, and it's in Dolby. It's this huge, big screen. And now I see the GIF, and I thought it was a rib at first, but no, that's a real thing.
No, he is legitimately cocking. Well, the cocking the arms thing is incredible. I hear they're taking him apart in the interviews now.
Well, he also went and he ran his mouth on an Australian like GQ about like... the Me Too movement, so he's not anyone's favorite right now.
Well, he is such a meathead.
He's a...
In every possible way.
He's a meatball with arms.
Do you recommend people go see this movie, Hambone?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Do you recommend they wait and see it at home? This is what we need to know. Do we spend our hard-earned money on Mission Impossible?
It depends on what else is out in the theater at the time. I mean, for me this weekend, there wasn't anything else really out that I wanted to see. So it was good. It was good to get in a movie theater, turn my brain off for a couple hours, drink some Coke Zero, eat some pretzels, enjoy my life.
You eat pretzels at the theater. Is it the ones that come with the cheese?
Yes.
Is this why you are doing the hacking thing again? Are you eating cheese again, Hambo?
No, it's not that.
It's not the cheese.
No.
Not the cheese at all.
Not the cheese at all.
All right. Just want to make sure, because you know, lactose intolerant people need love too.
We do.
And I'm here to help. And I'm here to help. All right. So we got the cocked and loaded thing out of the way.
Oh, God, it was terrible.
So now we're going to talk about dead wrestlers.
Oh, buddy.
There was three that died yesterday.
Three?
Or 2 days ago? Was it yesterday? 2 days ago.
2 days ago. So
Nikolai Volkoff.
Yes.
Brian Christopher.
Right.
And some rando we have no idea who he is or care.
So Brickhouse Brown, I honestly don't know who he is, so I can't speak to Brickhouse Brown.
I heard he was all in.
He was not all in.
And now he's not all in anymore.
George, that's a terrible...
He's not all in.
You're
it's
terrible,
sad.
George.
He's just all dead.
George.
Well, you know, things happen. Nikolai Volkoff died. He was old.
Yeah, he was old. That's it's terrible.
I think 70 is actually a very long lifespan for a wrestler from the 80s.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of them were on the gas back then, not treating their bodies right.
And that's about all I probably have to say about Nikolai Volkoff.
Well, Nikolai Volkoff was a great heel.
But you see, I always considered him the Kevin Nash to Iron Sheik's Shawn Michaels.
I will agree with that. I will agree with that. The other person who died was Grandmaster Sexay from Too Cool.
Brian Christopher, Jerry Lawler's son.
Jerry Lawler's son,
Brian Christopher. This is sad in so many ways.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible.
This is just like the more you think about it, the more depressing it is. Brian Christopher hung himself in jail. He had been in jail for weeks because he got busted on an open container pullover. He got pulled over. He had an open container of alcohol, but then he fled the police.
Yeah.
Which makes it a lot worse.
Always makes it bad.
Because they hit him up with a 40 grand bail, which he can't afford. He's been in and out of jail for like years. Like I constantly see him in and out of jail.
Jails where he's had his issues.
And the worst part is Jerry Lawler. I don't know if you heard, but Jerry Lawler chose to leave him in jail instead of bailing him out this time. He's bailed him out every other time. He chose to leave him in a sort of tough love. Like he's 47 years
old. Is that real? Is that confirmed?
Yeah, that's confirmed.
Oh, that's bad.
Because he bailed him out the last few times. And he's like, yeah, we left him in jail. He's like, do you need to like clean up? You need to dry out? He was in solitary because he was a celebrity. And, you know, people say, like, how the fuck do people still hang themselves in jail? Because they're supposed to have nothing that they could do damage to themselves with.
Sheets,
I know. And he's probably strong enough, he could probably shred up his sheets. I don't know the details. Jerry Lawler did release a statement today. He did allude to this still being under investigation, which is kind of sad.
Right.
And yeah, that's it. I just feel bad because, yeah, when I heard that he chose to let him like give him the tough love, which I think there's nothing wrong with that.
Sometimes there's nothing wrong with
that, man. Realize that that's not the right way to deal with depression.
Right.
But at least for his drug problem, and it's possible Jerry didn't understand his severity of depression, even though I have heard that he might have tried to commit suicide in the past.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, and Jerry Lawler, as much as, you know, he is a special person sometimes, as far as the stuff he says, he's not a fan of the Me Too movement.
Oh, he is not.
You know, nobody deserves something like this.
No, so absolutely
that,
not.
It sucks. This was a rough week in wrestling. They only gave him, I believe they only did like the logo at the front. They didn't do a package for either of them, did they, during Raw last night?
You know, I missed the very beginning of Raw.
They
night.
Just did the they didn't even do the bells. They just did the pictures for the two of them.
They didn't do the bells?
No, I don't think.
Dude.
Hanging yourself is not going to get you.
Yeah, but Nikolai Volkoff didn't hang himself.
Yeah,
and he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm shocked they didn't do packages. Like Too Cool was big enough in the Attitude Era. I thought both of them should have gotten packaged. Maybe I missed it. I did, to be honest. I did fast forward later on the show, especially when it turned out to just be the Brock Lesnar reads magazines in the back.
That was funny.
But I don't think they did. I think I would have caught that at some point.
No, I'd be shocked if they didn't do it with Iron Sheik.
One day we got to do a whole episode or a good segment just on dead wrestlers.
Oh, we could probably do like three episodes in Dead Wrestlers.
Yeah, but instead we're going to talk about George finally watching Harry Potter.
I am so excited about this.
Just to set up the scene. Are you going to do an Instagram? You
going
to gram me? Do you want to at least get me at a point where I'm ready to be grammed when I'm winking at you?
Let's
giving you a little side wink?
There you go.
Yeah, okay. I'm like I'm twitching right here. It's not even... Anyway, so I really, really, really want to go to Harry Potter World. Harry Potter World is supposedly the greatest theme park outside of the Magic Kingdom. It is gutting Disney on day two sales. And I've been to Universal in... Did I go to Paramount or Universal? Universal.
Right.
Allison went to Universal, right, in California?
Yeah.
And it was the drizzle shits beyond the backlot tour. Like, the actual park was just, like, the saddest place on earth. It was just people who didn't want to be working there. Rides that were all 3D TV rides. I didn't really enjoy it. But I hear Harry Potter World is next level.
Oh, it's beyond next
and
level.
And I'm jealous of you and all your friends. You guys go all the time. You guys just, like, go to Voldemort. And I want to go to Voldemort, too. So I decided I cannot go to Voldemort and be a Snugglepuff until I watch the movies.
Whoa. First off, it's a Hufflepuff. Thank you very much.
Okay. I'm trying. I've never read the books. I thought about reading the books, but I'm like, you know what? I heard the movies are good enough, and I don't really want to do another Game of Thrones situation here. And so I've started with the movies. I saw the movie, the first one, 2001, The Sorcerer's Stone, which for some reason is also called The Professor's something or another. It's got a different name in England that threw me off because on the Plex it was listed differently. I got very upset. Anyway, I saw it years ago when it came out. We watched it at Katie Graham's house. It was me, Josh, Allison, and a few other people. And I fell asleep. Allison was enraged because it was like ripping off all the best Disney tropes. And I was just bored to tears watching this movie. And I just didn't love it. But I'm like, I will try it again. My friend Hambone lives, breathes, and dies by the Snugglepuffs.
Hufflepuff.
So I'm like, I'm going to do it. We're going to watch them all. We're going to sit every weekend. We're going to watch one movie. It took us 3 days to watch the first Harry Potter. 3 days, because we kept falling asleep. So we started Friday. We made an hour in. Next day, we did about another hour. We finished off half hour on Sunday. It is some of the worst CG I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
The worst. It's so bad. It doesn't work well in HD at all.
Remember, that was 17 years ago.
And it's 2001, and I don't know where that fits into the grand scheme of things, but it might be around the Ang Lee Hulk time, which is some of the worst. That was when people thought they were there with CG, but they weren't. Ang Lee Hulk is the Shrek Hulk. And I feel this was just below Ang Lee Hulk in terms of CG. It's just so bad. Story acts as if we know what the fuck is going on. There's no setup at all. It almost just assumes you've read the books. There's no background. Like, why the fuck is Harry Potter? Does he know he's a wizard? Like, does he know that his parents? Like, I just don't. Why does he have evil step parents who are actually his aunt and uncle? I don't get it. And they don't know he's a wizard. So there's a backstory that's not explained at all when we get into this. And it's never really rectified through the story in the first movie. Do you agree? Am I missing something? Am I just not paying attention right? It's just, they're like, oh yeah, we are wizards. Boom, shakalaka magic.
Well, that's a lot to unpack. So
help me unpack. Help me understand Harry Potter.
All right, so here's the thing. It's hard to tell people to go and read the books because the first two books are very, 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 very kiddish. Like, they're very, very, like, scholastic
and books.
So they're
I felt that in the movie, too. And I guess I didn't realize that maybe I should have treated it more like a kid's movie. Kind of like when I saw The Sandlot the week before.
Right.
And thought that was meh.
So the first two Harry Potter movies and the first two Harry Potter books are very, very much kid books. It turns in the third book. And I'm sure that you've heard from people who talked about Harry Potter. It all turns in the third, and it takes a much more adult turn, and it doesn't stop, and it just gets better and better and better from the third. So that said, I didn't read the first two Harry Potter books. I saw the movies, and then I really liked the movies because I like all fantasy shit. So I really liked it. So I went and I bought the third book because the third book was out at the time, and the third movie was not. And then I completely fell in love with Harry Potter.
So you didn't read the first two books. You read the third book.
I watched the first two movies, then I read the third book.
And that works.
Totally works.
Okay.
100%
works.
If
you do that with Game of Thrones, you'd be
upset. So here's the fun thing. There's a lot of names in Harry Potter, but there's not a ton of names you really have to remember. There's some very central characters. And then as you're reading the book, you really become more intertwined with the lives of the characters. And you really have favorite characters that aren't even the main characters. So it's easier to kind of keep like a Rolodex of characters and who they are in your brain. So I 100% understand why you would think it's tough to get through the first two. I can promise you from three on, it just gets so much better and it doesn't stop. And you will actually learn how to appreciate the first two movies more once you start with the Prisoner of Azkaban and take it to the end.
Do you know what the worst thing about this conversation is?
What's that?
You're telling me the second one sucks and I need to watch it this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's not, no, the movie's not bad. It's much better than the first one.
Okay.
That said, it's still, like, you need to approach it like it's a kid
movie.
Oh my
God, the villain reveal on the first one. I just wanted to, like, I was going to say hang myself, but that's very poor taste right
now.
Oh
no.
That reveal where he's like, and they're even like, oh my God, we thought it was going to be Smeagol and it's you. And he's like, yes, because everybody thought it was going to be Smeagol. I was actually controlling him while he was controlling me.
Well, that comes into play a lot later.
And I should be called Smeagol.
So much went back.
When Hans Gruber is revealed not to be the villain, yeah. I was like, okay, this is just dumb.
Oh God, Alan Rickman.
Yeah, RIP. I actually had to look that up. I didn't realize who's Hans Gruber. Allison didn't believe me.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, he's also the bad guy in Money Pit.
Oh dude, just listen, man. I will tell you all the things that you watch and that you want to watch, especially if you want to go to Harry Potter World. Slug your way through episode number 2. It's good. It's not as good as 3. 3 hits. 3 starts to make you a believer. By the time they hit the 4th one, you are fully, fully invested.
So I'm going to promise you this, Hambone.
Yes.
I'm going to do it.
I know you're going to do it.
I'm going to get it done.
You're going to get it
done. And then we're going to go Harry Potter World.
Yes.
Like, I am ready for it.
Yes.
I see no reason why, like, Lindsay is like been to Harry Potter World and I can't because I haven't seen these movies. I feel bad about this. Like,
well,
it needs to happen.
It's, you will
enjoy, I will be a Snugglepuff.
You will be a Snugglepuff. Well, you might be a Ravenclaw.
I don't know. I need this to happen.
So here's the thing.
Oh my God. Can we? The basketball, aerial basketball on a broom game scene was so bad.
Yeah, it gets better.
It was so bad.
It gets better.
It was on the level of bad sports scenes in movies.
Yeah.
As the chase scene and chase slash the race in episode 1 of Phantom Menace. Star Wars, and as bad as that stupid volleyball type game that's in Final Fantasy 8 or whatever, 8-9.
So I will tell you, yes, I understand.
That scene, it sucks.
It does get better.
It lends nothing to anything.
A couple things. Quidditch is actually very important to the central story over the long run.
There will be more game playing.
There's Quidditch in every movie.
Fuck.
They do it in every movie. So you can go to Harry Potter World and not have seen Harry Potter and still have a blast because it is awesome.
Do you play that game at Harry Potter World?
I don't think you can. I don't know what the equivalent is there. That said, you will have so much more fun if you actually love Harry Potter and go to Harry Potter World. I do rewatch these movies all the time. Of all the go-to movies that I have, I rewatch the Harry Potter movies all the time.
Same way with the Saw movies.
Right. See, two sides of the same coin.
Yes.
That said, I don't watch the first 2. I only watch 3 on. Like, when I go and I rewatch the movies, I'll put on Azkaban or anything after.
All right, well, I'm going to keep doing. Maybe we'll have a little segment in each show going forward where I tell you what I think of that episode or that movie. Because, you know, right now, I'm going to do it because I feel you're not guiding me the wrong way. You have in the past, which worries me.
I absolutely have in the past. But this time I'm right. This time I'm 100% right.
So from one giant franchise that you are obsessed with to another giant franchise that you are obsessed with, Star Wars this week revealed its legacy cast for episode 3.
Oh, God.
Yep. It revealed Billy Dee Williams will be in it.
Right.
Which we were kind of expecting. People keep thinking he's, like, mentally challenged right now. But I'm like, no, that was Muhammad Ali. Like, I think Billy Dee Williams is okay.
No, Billy Dee was going through some stuff a little while ago.
And do you think that was just heroin?
I don't know.
He did have that, like, heroin slur, like Steven Adler on, like, Celebrity Rehab.
Oh, poor Steven Adler.
He's going to be in it. Mark Hamill's going to be in it. And the big announcement is that Carrie Fisher is going to reprise her role based on existing footage they shot before she died. Your thoughts, Ambone?
I believe I can't really say until I see it because I don't know how they're going to do it. I miss Carrie Fisher and I wish she didn't die. And I wish she didn't die because not for that we want her to be Princess Leia anymore. Just that it's silly. I just, I don't know, man. Like, they really.
My fear is that they're writing it based on what they had left on the cutting room floor because they didn't tape both movies at the same time.
So it's what they have left on the cutting room floor and that's what worries me. And it also worries me that they gave in to all those dickheads who were complaining about The Last Jedi. And now, like Luke had an ending
now
in The Last Jedi.
Hold on. There, I have a very strong belief that Luke may just be at the end in ghost form. I feel that.
Which I can completely understand.
Though I do kind of wish they would just be like, no, we're not going to make it where we kill a person. We're going to kill a legacy person every episode. And Luke didn't die because he just phased away.
Right, which is what Yoda did and whatever. But I don't know. Star Wars, it's become so tricky. I love Star Wars. I'm going to be looking forward to this movie. I'm looking forward to see something actually coming out of it. It makes me nervous when I hear stuff like this because it just kind of, it's okay that Carrie Fisher died. Like, I'm bummed about it, but I think it's okay that she died, and I think it's okay that if they couldn't find a way to put her in that last movie and just let it be, that's okay too. Like,
my big complaint is just that they didn't kill her when they had a good kill scene in the movie.
Yeah.
Which is how much more moving and powerful it would have been when she was floating through space and she just was dead.
Yeah. I mean, granted, they did. That was a layup. That was a layup, guys. It was a layup.
But they're pulling the freaking Sons of Anarchy thing where they get too attached to people and they want to keep them alive somehow, even though they should be dead like ages ago.
Yeah.
And it worries me because, yes, as far as I
know. Don't Ryan Murphy it, guys.
As far as I know, there was no, you know, they didn't tape them at the same time like Infinity War and the next, Infinity War 2 or whatever they call it. Those were already taped. They're already in can.
Yeah.
The Harry Potter movies, I believe they did some of those at the same time. They doubled up on the ones that were sequels or part one, part two of a book. They did them at the same time.
Right, but that's like an existing story that, and they had all the characters. Like, it wasn't like, you know, they're bringing people back after 30 years. Like, it's, I don't know.
I know. It's tough. I'm really worried. I'm going to go in with an open mind, just like I do every time. You know, we got to wait a year and a half now, thanks to Solo being released 2 weeks after the last movie.
Yeah, and also bombing.
Hamill is obviously very, he seems very happy.
So, if Hamill's happy, then I trust it. Because I know he wasn't happy about things in the past. And if he's like, hey, I'm good with this, I'm good with it. He's Luke Skywalker. I believe it.
I believe it too. I just hope, I mean, this is, look, they can't fuck this up.
Oh, they can't fuck
they
this
can't,
up.
They can't fuck it up. They've already had, they've got a lot of problems going on.
They've run out of all the grace that they have with the fans.
The fans, but also I think Disney is a little bit upset right now. So we'll see what happens on that side of things. I just want a good movie. I just want a good movie.
And it could be a masterpiece. It could be a failure. I'm going to see either way.
So, Hambone, this brings us to the end of another great episode. Does it even feel like an hour has just flown by?
It doesn't feel like 79 episodes have gone by.
Well, that's because this is the easiest thing we do every week. We just talk about shit that we would talk about anyway.
I love doing the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Makes me fucking happy.
What cool shit did you love or enjoy this week?
So the cool thing that I loved and enjoyed this week is that I got everything ready to go for Gen Con. Because there are some games I'm looking forward to picking up there. And I'm looking forward to running into people I haven't seen in a while. And I'm looking forward to being off of work for 5 days. So Pocket Dungeon Quest is something I'm really looking forward to at Gen Con. It's adorable. And it is a dungeon crawl for 2 to 4 players. And that's one of the things I'm definitely going to pick up. I'm also going to go to Margaret Weiss's booth and get myself a Death Saves t-shirt.
You are going to be actually speaking at Gen Con this year.
I'm not speaking. I am running a Dungeons & Dragons game for Cobalt Press.
Isn't that the same thing? I mean, you might as well be moderating a panel. You are going to be a person who's in the program.
I am in the program.
So tell us where people can go to enjoy Hambone. Where can you go to give you a hand job and thank you for everything you've done?
Well, you can give me a hand job anywhere you can find me, and I'll take it and thank you. However, the game sold out. Both settings of the game is sold out that I'm running.
Can they come watch like the Overwatch thing?
No.
Did you hear Overwatch like sold out Barclays Center? I had people from work who went.
Oh, I believe it.
Kids do that. They'd watch people play video games in giant public settings. I don't understand this.
Jesus, that's like the easiest money Barclays Center ever made.
So are you going to have people watch? You got people watching and cheering on. Can they come watch your games?
I don't know because I haven't seen the room setups yet.
How about you just tell us where you're going to be so we can come find you?
I don't know. I'm waiting to get my info where the exact room is going to be.
You are such a bad shill.
Well, because people, it's sold out. Like I can't, you know, I have to.
How do they get your autographs? Do they realize who you are?
They'll see the Aloha shirts.
If you want to find Hambone at Gen Con, he is going to be available. He is staying at the nearby hotel that's right next to the convention hall. He is going to be there signing autographs, signing boobs, signing vaginas. He doesn't care. He'll sign anything.
George.
He is not single per se. I'm not allowed to say whether he is or not anymore. But
I am single.
If you want to have sex with Hambone, George, you should go to Gen Con.
What the hell?
Yes. Yes, he will have a bodyguard with him. That one's not available. But Hambone has great new hair. He just uses conditioner.
It's leave-in conditioner, y'all. It smells like shea butter.
Just do it.
And coconuts.
Just do it. He wears pants that fit now.
It's mostly shorts. I got great legs, though.
It should happen. I'm excited for you. Next week, we're going to have the Gen Con wrap-up episode.
Yeah, I'll tell you all
about
it.
When are you getting back?
I'll be back on Monday.
Back on Monday, so we can do it whenever we want during the week.
Yep.
That's great.
What are you excited about, George?
I am excited about the complete guide to rum I just picked up a couple weeks ago. It is the Bible of rum, and it is a checklist of every rum I need to try and find. By the way, I'm making progress. I'm making progress. I am this close to getting us some Lemon Heart. So close, but I've been so busy at work. I can't figure out. Like, I just need to, at this point, Lemon Heart, who was a fucking sponsor of Luau at the Lake.
Really?
Failed so bad.
Oh,
next year, if you do not help me get tickets, I will be very upset. You need to run it next week. You need to make sure it happens next year.
I will be the runner for the Luau of the Lake.
But they were sponsoring it. So I just wrote, they started posting on Instagram, check us out, we're at Luau. I'm like, okay, you at Luau? How about you leave some alcohol nearby so maybe some of us in Jersey can get it? They DM'd me and said, what do you mean? Where do you want to get it? I'm like, that's an option? And I'm like, I don't know. I have a wine king and a bottle king and this king and that king. They're like, we're going to put you in touch with our distributor. They hooked me up with Carl, who responds to my email from their distribution. He's like, find us a local alcohol place that you want us to get and what do you want? And I'm like, okay, how about Bottle King and the wine at Essex Green Place? And like, how about someone more independent? I go, do you realize that most of the liquor stores, like I'm by Newark, like most of our liquor stores are behind like Bulletproof Glass. So I'm working on getting them to put something in Ivante Vino in Montclair.
Oh my God.
Over by Raymond. So they said, how many bottles do you want? And that's when I got stumped. Cause I'm like, well, I don't really want like,
six.
I want like one for me and one for Hambone.
Six.
Like, no, cause I want one of each kind, not just the 181. Like I'd like to have, we need to get like at least one each of us, or maybe two bottles each of the 181. And I'm just like trying to like figure out the logistics. I don't even know
how buy whatever.
I know. So I will one day, you will come here and I will go like pull out of my ass this gigantic container and I will blow your mind.
And then we are going to have a dead man's party.
So
all zombies.
It's happening. And Lemon Heart is in the complete guide to rum, which is available on Amazon.com. Definitely check it out. Hambone, how can the kids reach you?
You can find me on Twitter at Hambricker, where I tweet about Dungeons & Dragons, professional wrestling, and mostly cute animals. You can also find me at Unwinnable.com for my other podcast, The Vintage RPG Podcast, where we talk about games, playing them, loving them, and buying them.
Oh, speaking of which, do you see right? So I'm going to leave Fallout right there next to you.
Yes.
It's going to sit there every week until you pick a day.
When I get back from Gen Con, we're playing it, and I'm going to see if they have any goodies for you at Gen Con.
All right. Because I'm so excited
for
that. I
am shit excited for it.
But it's going to sit there, and I'm going to point, hey, it hasn't been opened yet because you need to tell me when you're available to do this.
When I get back from Gen Con.
It needs to be like a Sunday where you have like 3 hours or 4 hours.
Fine. I want to play the game real bad. I'm almost done with all my tasks and my missions and my shows and stuff.
Fine. You can reach me at GLK Creative on Instagram. You can reach me on GLK Creative on the Twitters. I'm at cultofgeorge.com, where you can find all the old episodes of My Thai Happy Hour and My Thai TV at mytaitv.com. I'm never going to change that URL because it's way easier than mytaihappyhour.com.
You know it, bro.
I own too many goddamn URLs at this point.
Yeah, you do.
You can find me at GLK Creative. If you want to have a tiki wedding, I will only do a tiki wedding now. What do you think of Sean and Lindsay's photos?
Holy shit. I don't know if we were going to bring it up on air.
I'll bring it up on air.
Some of the best engagement photos I've ever seen in my
life.
Seriously. No, it's amazing because you not only made Lee's Hawaiian Islander look good. You made Rutz look good.
I made Sean look good.
You made Sean look good. I mean, Lindsay doesn't need your help to look good, but you made Sean look real good.
Just so you know, I don't think I told you, but we had, you know, Lindsay had this crazy itinerary where she's like, we're going to go to Lee's Hawaiian Island, a Lyndhurst, New Jersey tiki bar, legacy 1960s tiki bar that's a little long in the tooth, but, you know, that's their favorite tiki bar. And then it was like, go to Jersey City and do like romantic photos, then go to Rutz. I'm like, all right, sure. It was a nice day.
Well, they were, but that's the thing. They were romantic photos because it's them.
We go to Lee's and the owner's son is there who I guess they've befriended. Yeah. And they were like, hey, Danny, you know, it's still quiet. It's early in the day. Can we shoot some photos here? He's like, the whole upstairs. We just cleaned the upstairs.
Nice.
All yours. And yeah. I was like, really? We start shooting. I have one light. I wish I had brought more lights because I didn't realize we were basically going to turn Leeds into our own studio.
Yeah.
And I went to town. And about like a half hour in, I'm like, hey, guys, do you really want to go to Jersey City? Because even though it's gorgeous outside, we have Leeds to ourselves. To ourselves. And Sean's like, thank God you said that.
Yeah.
And we just say, basically shot in Leeds for like an hour and a half.
And I can't believe you got behind the bar at Rutz. I've never even been behind the bar at Rutz.
We go to Rutz and they ordered their meal. And I asked the guy who was there, hey, look, we're shooting their engagement photos. Is that okay? He's like, sure. I'm like, can I hop behind the bar and just do a shot from the other side because it's easier? He's like, no problem, buddy.
What's crazy about Rutz?
We're talking about Rutz Hut, the hot dog joint in
the
New
number
Jersey.
One hot dog in America.
Home of the Ripper? Is there the Ripper?
The Ripper.
The Ripper. Rutz Hut is when you go into the restaurant area and you're at the bar, you're looking at the back of the fast order, the fast food area.
Yep.
They have a front area that's like restaurant, back area, it's fast food.
Yep.
And or takeout, I guess.
Sure.
And So all the people in the restaurant were like looking at me and laughing about their congratulations, is your engagement, right. Blah, blah, blah. And they were looking at me and going, and I was looking down at them and I'm like, oh, that's so amazing that Rutz is so
owned by a Greek.
Sensitive and forward thinking that they have hired only dwarfs in the kitchen. Like two, three dwarfs, maybe midgets, like
oh
little
my God.
People. I was like, this is so crazy. I was looking down on these people, thanking us for like taking the photos. And then I realized that the takeout area of Rutz is actually submerged below the restaurant.
Yeah.
And they were not actually dwarves. Yep. They were just about 3 feet shorter lower than that. That happened to me.
I love it.
That happened to me.
I love it.
That was Rutz. That was definitely the best engagement shoot ever. Again, from now on, I'm only doing tiki engagements and tiki weddings. You want me at the Maikai? I will do it. Again, I am George. This is Hambone. Take us out.
Everybody remember, be nice. Oh, shit. Aloha.
Wait, you say, why do you say, oh, shit? You always say aloha.
Because I messed it up when I was filming it.
It's okay. You can do it again.
Everybody remember, be nice. Aloha.
I'd say we'd edit it out in post.
Yeah, we don't do that.
Fuck it.
Why not? Later.
Bye-bye. This has been a production of Hambone and George. Stay tuned.
Forever.
Forever.